to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Well, I want to start once again by saying a big thank you to Reverend Dr. Dunyo Dubanjo. Thank you, sir, for the privilege afforded me to be here this weekend. And also to Pastor Bolaji. Thank you, sir, as well. Praise God. And we know that God's word is always a blessing. You know, there's something about the fellowship of the brethren, just coming together, fellowshipping with one another, fellowshipping with the Lord. In such an atmosphere, God is able to impact our lives. Praise God. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you because you're our Father, and you're such a good Father. Thank you for another opportunity this evening to gather together about the name of Jesus. Thank you for the opportunity of studying the Word of God. Thank you for the Spirit of Truth who indwells us. Thank you because it will unveil, unfold, and reveal the Word of God to our spirits. Thank you for impacting our lives. We'll endeavor to follow your plan. We'll endeavor to follow your direction. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the meeting started on Thursday, and I know it was off to a great start. Praise God. Well, yesterday began as well talking about along the line of the theme of the meeting, which is living naturally in the supernatural. Now, I'm just going to continue where I left off. Now, I understand there's some people here who were not able to be here yesterday. So I'll do a brief recap of the things I said. And even if you were here, you know, faith doesn't come by having heard, right? It comes by hearing and hearing. So let's go to our same texts, scriptures that we used. And first, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And in verse 23. It says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, sanctify you completely. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Then we went to Galatians chapter 5 from verse 16 to 18, where the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." And then Romans chapter 8, from verse 1 and 9. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And lastly, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, from verse 1 to 5. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness, and in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith shall not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So, we said yesterday that God made man in his image and after his likeness. And originally, man walked with God. We know that God is a spirit. Man also is a spirit being. He has a soul. He lives in a body. Man's spiritual faculties were attuned to the pitch of God's frequency. And as a result, man was able to fellowship with the Father. Now, God told Adam something, told him not to eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Well, man disobeyed God. And the moment he did, his spirit became estranged from God, became separated from God. His spiritual faculties became impaired. Spiritual death came on the scene, came into man's spirit. And then his physical senses gained ascendancy over his spirit. Man's soul and body gained ascendancy over his spirit. So man then had to now depend on his senses for survival. Originally, man was made to walk in the supernatural realm. That's our realm. See, God wants us to be naturally supernatural. And he wants us to be supernaturally natural. The good news is that after Adam sinned, that wasn't the end of the story. There was the second Adam, who also happens to be the last Adam. And on the grounds of his substitutionary sacrifice, on the grounds of his death, burial, and resurrection, eternal life is now imparted to man's spirit at the new birth. Amen. And like we saw in Romans 8, the Bible says, ye are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Or we could put it like this, ye are not in the natural, but in the supernatural, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Amen. You know, it says, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We could read that like this. That word flesh is the word sarx. Also means senses. So we could say, walk in the supernatural, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the natural. So God wants us to walk in the supernatural realm. Out of a new birth, we were reintroduced into God's realm of the supernatural. The devil can also do supernatural stuff, but that's not the supernatural we're talking about. We're talking about the one that has to do with God. The one that has to do with the Spirit of God. So at our new birth, we were baptized into the body of Christ. We were reintroduced into the realm of the supernatural. And then not only were we born again, there's an experience subsequent to the new birth. The baptism in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. So when we got filled with the Holy Ghost, we now got filled with God's supernatural spirit. And there was an initial evidence. We began to speak a supernatural language because God intends that we are to walk in that realm. Amen. You see, the natural and the supernatural coming together make an explosive force for God. We're not just to walk in the supernatural. Yes, we are to do that primarily, but we are to do that even as we live in this natural world. And also, we're to be natural in a supernatural way. Amen. You know, the Bible teaches about naturalness. God's word appeals to naturalness. Certain things are wrong because they are not natural. So God wants us to be supernaturally natural. Amen. And he wants us to be naturally supernatural. And we also said that by virtue of the Spirit of God in us, we are in the Spirit. Every person who is born again is in the Spirit. Now, can he walk in the flesh? He sure can. Should he? He shouldn't. Amen. But he's in the Spirit. Can you be in the Spirit and not walk in the Spirit? Certainly. Can you be in the Spirit and walk in the flesh? Certainly. But that's not God's will. By virtue of being born again, we are in the Spirit. Not only are we in the Spirit, God wants us to also walk in the Spirit, to walk in the realm of the supernatural. Then we began to say this, that really, some of these things are not rocket science. Living naturally in the supernatural is not nuclear physics. It's not. It's really about knowing how. So, we asked ourselves the question, how can we live naturally in the supernatural? And we said that the answer is found in the Bible. So, we began to examine certain key things that God's word tells us about how to do that. We said, number one, we must walk in love. We must walk in love. And that was what we emphasized yesterday. By virtue of the new birth, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And love is the law of the family of God. Love is the law of the new creation. Jesus said, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I've loved you, that ye also love one another. John 13:34. He said in verse 35 that by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. See, walking in love is not just a means to an end. Yes, it's a means to an end. It's the more excellent way into the supernatural. It is. But you see, walking in love is also the end. Because that in itself is supernatural. It's natural to walk in strife. It's natural to be bitter. It's natural to walk in hate. Do me, I do you. God, no go vex. That's natural. You don't have to be born again to do that. It's natural to revenge. That's natural. But listen, we are not natural men. We are born of God. So we walk in the realm of God. Amen. So we must be strong about the love walk. Strong about walking in love. Discerning the body of Christ. Walking in love towards the members of God's family. Loving the sinners too. Praise God, because Jesus died for them. And you know, the Bible says in 1 John 2:5, that whoso keepeth God's word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. So we are to obey God as well. Why? Because we love him. So we do what he tells us to do. We act upon his instructions. Whether what he tells us in our spirits, or things he has laid out for us clearly in his word, we obey them. See, that's part of the love walk. Amen. We walk in love. Well, second thing, you know, that I feel the Lord will have me to emphasize in this meeting, if we're going to live naturally in the supernatural, is that we must live by faith. We must live by faith. You see, in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, the Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So faith is not a spare tire. Faith is not a panic button. Faith is not something we use to get things. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's not a formula. It's not a magic wand. It's not a ticket to a land of perfection, some utopia somewhere. No. Faith is our lifestyle. Faith is our lifestyle. You see, it's faith that makes the supernatural become readily available and enables us to live in that realm. The Christian life is a supernatural life because it's a faith life. Now, that same thing that's said there in Romans 1:17, that the just shall live by faith, we find it in Galatians 3:11. We find it also in Hebrews 10:38. If any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Now the just shall live by faith. So you see, that's the life we live. In Habakkuk 2:4, the Bible says the just shall live by his faith. So we live by faith. You see, everything that Jesus did in redemption is at the claim of our faith. That includes the new birth. That includes the baptism in the Holy Ghost. Amen. That includes victory over the flesh, victory over the world, victory over the devil, spirituality. It's by faith we live spiritual. That includes healing and health. That includes financial provision, material prosperity. It's at the claim of faith. That also includes a supernatural ministry. You know, the Bible says men who through faith subdued kingdoms. Hebrews 11:33. Wrought righteousness. Obtained promises. You see, we can do righteousness by faith. We can do the works of Jesus, and we should. But the way we do the works of Jesus is by faith. So faith brings the natural into manifestation. Brings the supernatural into manifestation. Causes us to experience the supernatural. Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:11 says, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet, or who has made us able
to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So, there's an inheritance. It's ours. Now, sometimes when it comes to faith, we have this idea that our faith is going to get God to bless us. No, it's not. Redemption made God bless us. God's grace made him bless us. You see, it's not about turning the hands of an unwilling God and getting him to do what we want him to do. No, he's a good father. And he's already made provision for us already. Faith is not what's going to get God to do it. God has done it. Faith is what takes what God has provided. Faith is how we experience what belongs to us. And you see, faith is so simple that you actually need a preacher to help you misunderstand it. So simple. It's so simple. Romans chapter 3 verse 27, the Bible says, where is boasting then? It says it is excluded. Well, to get the full import of verse 27, it may be necessary to start from verse 21. It says, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 24, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare, say, his righteousness, for the remission of the sins, through the forbearance of God, remission of sins that are past. Amen. To declare again, I say, that God might be just, that God might be righteous, and the righteousness of them that have faith in Jesus. He now concludes us and says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law of works? You see, there is a law of works. But that's not how we get this righteousness which is of faith. That's not how. See, it's not of works. He said, but by the law of faith. So there's a law to faith. There's a principle to faith. You see, while it's true that God is a person, you know, sometimes some people make Christianity sound like it's just a bunch of formulas and principles. I don't like that. Where it's about the Father and his family. We're in a relationship with God. It's not just press this button, pull this lever. No, we're talking about a person. We're talking about our daddy, our father. We're talking about a family. Praise God. A love relationship. So we understand that. However, just like there are natural laws, there are spiritual laws. Now this law of faith, we see it being explained in Romans chapter 10. From verse 6. Remember, it started off in Romans 3:21, talking about the righteousness of God without the law. Being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. So it's talking about this righteousness of God. The book of Romans really talks about how God made righteousness available to mankind. See, that's actually what the gospel is. How God made man able to stand in his presence once again. How God made man able to come into his family and have his nature on the inside of him. The book of Romans is actually a statement. It's actually a treatise of the gospel. What the gospel is about. In Romans 10 from verse 6, the Bible says, the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven to bring Christ again from above? Or who shall descend to the deep to bring Christ again from the dead? And so it first tells us what it doesn't say. What the righteousness of faith shouldn't say. So if it doesn't say that, what then should it say? Verse 8 says, but what seeth it? What does it say then? It says that the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 10 says, so with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We could put that like this. With the heart man believes and therefore becomes righteous. With the mouth man confesses and therefore he becomes saved. You see, that's the law of faith right there. How we became the righteousness of God. It's by believing in our hearts and by confessing with our mouths. That's it. That's it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 13, the Bible says, we having the same spirit of faith. Notice we're not trying to get it. I hear people sometimes say that, well, the subject of faith can be taught, but the spirit of faith is caught. And I've heard people say this, that the way you catch the spirit of faith is by being in a relationship with people that have it. Every time I've heard that, something inside of me has always cringed. The truth is this. If you're born again, you have the spirit of faith. Every child of God has the spirit of faith. You get the spirit of faith by coming in contact with the God of faith. You're a faith child of the faith God. Now, Paul was writing to the Corinthian church. Corinthian. Not Ephesian church. Corinthian. That they were so carnal. Their carnality did not have part two. And then he said, we having. If I say we, that it means me and everybody here. So he said, we having. Believe me, if the Corinthian church had it, you have it. Every child of God has it. We have the spirit of faith. We have the spirit of faith. And what's the spirit of faith? God in our situation, I believed. Therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. See, that's the law of faith. Believe it in the heart and say it with the mouth. Classic text, Mark 11:23. Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Do you know how to die? Let me tell you how to die. Just keep saying it. He shall have whatsoever he saith. You know how to be poor? Very easy. Just keep saying, money is not coming to you. Just keep saying, I'm so broke. Just keep saying, things are not working out. Sure, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Do you know how to be defeated in life? That's it. He shall have whatsoever he saith. It will work for whosoever. And it will work on whatsoever. But you know what? We're not of them that draw back to perdition. We're of them that believe to the saving of the soul. We're not going to believe the wrong stuff. You see, God's word is the food of faith. So we go into the word of God. We feed on that word and find out what our Father has said about us. We find out what belongs to us. Listen, in our minds, this is how we think. That when it comes to healing, you believe God. When it comes to finances, you sow seed. When it comes to the flesh, my guy, you better begin to struggle there. But that's a lie from the pits of hell. The principles of faith work in every realm. That's how you work in healing and health. That's how you work in financial provision. Now, of course, you know, if you really believe, you will act. And there are some actions that correspond with our believing. You know, it's not just about saying my needs are met. My God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then you stay in the house and sleep. And then you're a student, you don't go to class, you don't read your books, and you're saying I'm the head and not the tail. Yeah, you're going to be the head from the rear. That's all. Because faith without corresponding action is dead. You get what I'm saying? Now, if you're believing God for provision, you're going to act. If you really believe, you'll act. Your actions will correspond to what you're believing for and confessing for, isn't it? Yeah, you're going to tithe faithfully, right? You're going to give generously, right? You're going to be diligent. You're going to put your hand on something. So don't just take this out of a setting and say, look, I'm just going to confess my way into a first class. And then I won't go to lectures. I'll just be confessing. You know, one fellow told Charles Capps. He said, since I got a hold of faith and confession, said I stopped putting fertilizer in my farm. Charles Capps looked at him and said, what are you talking about? And that fellow said, well, he said, I got a hold of this faith business. He said, I quit my job to live by faith. He said, what are you talking about? If you had trouble with your job, getting your needs met, it's not without your job that your needs will be better met. The Bible says, he that does not work should not eat. You know, I saw one sticker at the back of one Danfo, no food for lazy man. I felt like stopping the Danfo driver and telling him, this is more scriptural than you think. And just giving him a high five. That's the Bible. Are you listening to me? But you see, some people, they give generously. Some people, they labor diligently. Some people, they tithe faithfully. But guess what? They keep saying, there's no money. They keep saying, the economy is bad. They keep saying, you know, it's my sickness. I have it every month. You know, the ember months, the thing always they come. They keep saying, we don't know who's going to die next. They keep saying, all this insecurity, You know, we don't know who will be kidnapped next. Yeah, I know who will be kidnapped next. They will be the ones. Because that's what they are saying. You know, you can bind your angels. The Bible says whatever we bind on earth, we bound in heaven. Whatever we lose on earth, will be loosed in heaven. Some people bind their angels. You know, in Psalm 91, the Bible says in verse 1 that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Then verse 2 tells us how. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge and my fortress. My God, in him will I trust. That's the principle. Saying and believing. Saying and believing. You see, some people keep saying, you don't know, anybody can die at any time. And then they're about to have an accident. Their angel is there. The angel just keeps looking at them. Because they have bound him with the words of their mouth. The angel can't protect them. The angel can't do anything about it. Because it's a spiritual law. It's a spiritual law. It's a spiritual law. It's a spiritual law. He shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Listen, I don't believe in sickness. I don't talk sickness. I don't believe in lack. I don't talk lack. Proverbs 12:18 says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. I believe in health. I talk health. I don't believe in failure. I don't believe in poverty. God is a spirit. Yes, but he's not a spirit of lack. He's a spirit of abundance. His name is El Shaddai. He's not El Broko. He's not El Chipo. Amen. He's Jehovah Jireh. That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible... And listen, I'm simple enough to believe it and to say it. Let me also say this. You see, with Christians, where we have problems, primarily where faith is concerned, is not the believing part. We have been taught to have faith. We have been taught to believe. Where we miss it, now some of us miss it in the believing, yes. But that's not where most of us miss it. We are believers. Where most of us miss it is in what we are saying. Is in what we are saying. Is in what we are saying. What are you saying? What are you saying about your health? What are you saying about your finances? What are you saying about your future? There was a time when the only place I preached was in birthdays. But I kept saying it. I'll preach the gospel. I'll preach that Jesus saves. I'll preach that Jesus baptizes in the Holy Ghost. I'll preach that Jesus heals. I'll preach that Jesus is coming again. I'll preach in citywide meetings. I'll preach in statewide meetings. I'll preach in nationwide meetings. I'll preach in worldwide meetings. I began to say that. I began to say, in the name of Jesus, I cast out devils. I speak with new tongues. I take up serpents. If I drink any deadly thing, it does not hurt me. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. I heal the sick. I raise the dead. I cleanse the lepers. I cast out devils. And guess what I was seeing? Headaches getting healed. Stomach aches getting healed. That was all I saw. Sprains and ankles getting healed. But you see, I know that principle. He shall have. He shall have. He doesn't have it yet. And that's why he's saying it. Because he shall have whatsoever he said. See, faith calls the things that be not as though they were. Faith doesn't call the things that be as though they be not. Faith calls the things that be not as though they were. Faith is not denial. You know, there's a way we talk sometimes. See, somebody will tell you after the service, say, Pastor, I'm very rich. Can you give me some money to help me go home? That's not faith. That's just language. Somebody will call, say, HOD, I'm able to come for the meeting tonight. I'm very strong. That's not faith. That's not faith. You know, some people think it's just about not saying the wrong thing. But at the time they are not saying the wrong thing, they are acting the wrong thing. They may just as well have said it. Because their actions say it. You know, someone will go to the doctor. You say, how did it go? The doctor says, said, don't mind that doctor. The doctor said, my enemy has. For one, if you repent for lying, God will forgive you. The doctor didn't say your enemy has. He said, you have. You see, Mark 11:23 doesn't say, whosoever shall say there's no mountain. That's not what it says. It says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Faith does not deny the facts. You can't remove a mountain if you don't first realize that, my guy, I get a mountain. Mountain day for my front. Okay. Now, what does the word of God say about it? So faith speaks the word of God concerning the situation. Now, we've had many casualties in the name of faith. I've seen people diagnosed with terminal cancer. Doctor says we've got to operate on you immediately. If you don't do this surgery, you'll be dead in 3 months. And then the person, this is personal. When they had headache, it was Panadol Extra. When they had malaria, it was Amala or Artesunate or something. When they, or Amala. When they, when they had ordinary spraying until they got Sloan's ointment. You know, then the doctor says, you have cancer. We need to do something. And then they come to the pastor. Say, Pastor, I believe God. With God, all things are possible. Yes, it's true that with God, all things are possible. Yes, I know that sometimes when people's backs are against the wall, some actually believe God. It's true. But it's also true that some people, it's not faith that they are talking. They are just talking willpower. Willpower is not faith power. They are two different things. Faith is something we feed. Faith is something we exercise. Faith is something we grow in. Are you listening? First the blade, then the air, then the full corn in the air. Don't do something foolish in the name of faith. Don't throw away your drugs. I've seen one man, elderly man in his 70s. You know, he had extreme case of diabetes. When he told me how many thousands of drugs, tablets, a medical doctor, and he's a preacher, so he knows what he's talking about. How many thousands of tablets he had swallowed in his life. It was a miracle his liver hadn't packed up. Yeah. Bad case of diabetes. Bad case of hypertension. You know? And he said, look, I'm just going to believe God and stop my drugs. That's not necessarily believing God. That's not necessarily believing God. You see, the drugs, many times, in certain cases, won't get you healed. But those drugs also won't keep you from getting healed. In some of these cases, those drugs can keep you alive and can keep the symptoms down while your faith is taking hold of your healing. See, faith is a law. It's a principle. Jesus said, if you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you shall say, faith works like a seed. Usually, you don't get the harvest the day you plant the seed. Are you listening? That's why P.C. Nelson said, constantly feed along the lines of faith and healing. Said, because the day will come when you will either need faith for your own healing or for the healing of a loved one. And if your faith has not been kept strong in that area, you will be at a disadvantage. So keep feeding your faith on a daily basis. There's no day under God's sun that passes that I don't spend at least 1 hour studying along the lines of faith and healing. Now, that's not the only story that I study about. God doesn't want us to be kwashoko Christians. There are some Christians, all they know is faith, all they know is healing. Yeah, it's good to know faith, it's good to know healing, but you should know some holiness also. You should know some walking in love also. You should know some evangelism also. You should know some fasting also. Yeah, you should know some giving also. You should know God wants us to be full of His Word. He wants us to have the entire... Matthew 4:4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In Acts 20:27, Paul said, I have not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Every year, I read the Bible through Genesis to Revelation. I had to set out this morning, pretty early. Before I did my Bible reading. You see, no matter how busy I get, I never get too busy for my life. Are you listening? I found out something. We all have time for what we consider important. Have you ever met somebody on the road who was stark naked? And it's not that they lost their mind. I said, my guy, how far? You're not wearing any clothes. Say, I didn't have time. Ever had that happen to you or see someone it happened to? Not that a screw was missing somewhere. They were okay, but they just didn't have time to dress up. Anybody like that? I haven't seen them yet. Look, we all have time for what we consider important. The thing is, we don't consider some things important. That's why we don't create time for them. I never met anybody who says, and you came close to them, their mouth was like, you know, how many people remember hydrogen sulfide? You know, that smells like rotten egg. And then he came close to them. I said, my guy, how far? He says, look, for the past 6 months, I haven't had time to brush my teeth. Have you ever met anybody like, we all have time for what we consider important. I'm saying, let's give the word of God first place. Let's feed our faith regularly. Let's build the word of God into our spirits. Let's believe what it says and confess what it says. And let's be consistent about it. Let's be consistent about it. Believing in the heart, saying with the mouth. Believing in the heart, saying with the mouth. There are certain scriptures that tell us who we are in Christ, what we have in Christ. There are about 134 of them. Find them in your Bible. The bulk of them are in the epistles. Mark them. Begin to say them to yourself regularly. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. The life of God is in me. I'm the righteousness of God in him. Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. I'm complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. I'm delivered from the power of darkness. I'm translated into the kingdom of God's dear son. You know, when you say those things to yourself, faith's confessions creates realities. Now, is God's word a reality? It is a reality. Is God's word truth? It is truth. God's word is real to God. God's word is real in the spirit realm. But you see, I want God's word to be real in my experience. Do you know you can have 10 million naira in the bank and you can starve? If you don't know you have the money. Or if you know you have the money, but for some reason, maybe you don't have an ATM card for that account, and you can't get into that account, and let's say it's a long weekend and there's a public holiday on Monday and Tuesday, you could be looking for someone to lend you money and you're a millionaire. If you don't know how to access it, look, we have an inheritance in Christ. What our believing and our confession does is that it takes what is ours legally and makes it ours experientially. You don't want to be a horse in the book. You know, have you heard that expression before? Eshinuwe. You don't want to be a success on piece of paper. You don't want that, right? You don't want to be a victor on the piece of paper. You know, but a defeated fellow in real life. Now, what makes what is ours legally become ours vitally is our believing it and our saying it. And I'm telling you, confession is the doorway to the supernatural. Want to experience the supernatural? Speak the word of God. Speak the word of God and be consistent about it. I've heard some people, they say, look, they say we should confess. The moment anybody says, they say we should, I know something is wrong. Don't do it because your pastor said it. Don't do it because I said it. Do it because you can see it in the Bible. Don't do it because you're convinced of it in the Bible. And then you see, it's a law. It's a principle. It's a lifestyle. You know, you don't start confessing I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. And then you expect that by next week, you know, everything in your life will have turned around. Look, you didn't get to that hole overnight. You spoke yourself into that place of sickness. You spoke yourself into that place of defeat. You had believed into it and spoken into it. It may take some time to speak yourself out of it, but be consistent about it. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You can talk yourself into death, or you can talk yourself into life. I don't mind telling you, you won't hear I died young, because I won't. Psalm 91 verse 16, with long life, God will satisfy me, and he shows me salvation. I'm done with sickness. I'm done with disease. I haven't had a sick day in decades, and it's going to stay that way. Amen. Why? Because the tongue of the wise is health. Now, I'm not saying go and do something foolish, like don't eat well, don't rest well. You break down if you do that. But I'm saying speak the word of God. Speak the word of God. Be consistent about your confession. Be consistent about feeding on the word. Be consistent about believing the word. Be consistent about acting on the word. Be consistent about confessing the word. And just do it constantly. Notice in Mark 11:23, Jesus did not say, he shall have whatsoever he saith when he is confessing. He didn't say he shall have whatsoever he saith when he is in church. He didn't say he shall have whatsoever he saith when pastor is leading in prayer. He said he shall have whatsoever he saith. He shall have whatsoever he saith. You know, it's easy in this kind of atmosphere. All of us to get up now and say, I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above only and not beneath. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. By the stripes of Jesus I'm healed. My God supplies all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then you start going home. You're driving the car. And your wife is saying, we need those children, their school uniform is old. And you reply, say, do you think I'm made of money? Where am I going to get the money from? You know, we don't have the money. What did you just do? I thought you said my God supplies all our need. You know, and then it's easy to speak the word of God. And then you're talking with your friend and he says, my guy, how far? This austerity, they taught you so. You say, the thing they hammer me. They hammer me. They hammer. You know, just remember, he shall have whatever he saith. He shall have whatever he saith. You know, remember in chemistry, they taught us about neutralization reaction, right? Acid reacts with a base to produce a salt and water. Many of us are good at neutralizing our faith. Neutralizing our confession. One time we confess victory, the other time we confess defeat. You know, it's like plus 5, minus 4. Because you confess the word, then you confess the fear. You confess the word, then you confess defeat. You confess healing, then you confess the sickness. I know there aren't people like that in this church. I know you folks, you speak God's word. Amen. So let's keep it that way. For those watching online, maybe you've been a victim of that kind of a self-destructive habit. Stop it. Stop it. Words are the most mighty things in the universe. The home atmosphere is a product of words. If you hear what some people say about their marriage, you know where their marriage isn't working. See, you have to change what you believe about your marriage and change what you're saying about your marriage before your marriage will change. Yeah, sometimes you have a recalcitrant child. You have a delinquent child. You know, and you keep saying this child, the boy know they hear word. The boy know they, you haven't seen know they hear word yet. The one you are seeing, kese kese, is the one you've seen, kasa kasa, is on the way. Yeah, I'm a son of the soil, for your information. So, I don't get to speak like this all the time. So anytime I'm in this part of the country, I like to just remind myself of the language I spoke growing up. You know, English was banned in my house because we used to fail Yoruba in school. We schooled in the U.S., came back to the country, and then we started failing Yoruba in school. So my father said, no English in this house. Yeah, so we started speaking Yoruba. If my father starts speaking English to you, you're in trouble. You've done something wrong. You know, so we speak Yoruba. I can write Yoruba. I can read Yoruba. And thank God I can. And even put Ami, Do, Re, Mi, and put it on it. Praise God. Yeah, you know, sometimes we blow guy that, and that guy is so touche, he's so touche. He can't speak his native tongue. What's touche about that? What's touche about that? Amen. So, let's live by faith. Let's live by faith. Keep believing the word of God and keep speaking the word of God. So, number one, I said we must walk in love. If we're going to live naturally in the supernatural, we must walk in love. Number two, we must live by faith. Number three, use the name of Jesus. Use the name of Jesus. You see, as believers, we have a legal right to that name. Jesus gave us the power of attorney to act in his stead. You know, sometimes you think praying in the name of Jesus is putting the name of Jesus before your prayer or at the end of your prayer. You know, just saying it, Jesus said, no, that's not what it means. Yes, should we use the name of Jesus like that? Of course. But there's more to it than that. Let's say the president was invited to a function and he couldn't come. And he sent someone to go represent him. Now that person he sent to represent him is there in his name. He's there as his representative. So wherever the president was meant to sit, that's where that person will sit. Whenever the president was meant to talk, that's when that person will talk. Whatever that person said is as good as the president said it. Listen, we're members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Jesus is the head. We are the body of Christ. Your head doesn't bear one name and your body another. Are you listening to me? We have a fourfold right to the use of the name of Jesus. First, we're born into the family of God. And that name belongs to the family. Second, we're baptized into the name of Jesus. Being baptized into that name, we're baptized into Christ himself. Third, we have the power of attorney to act in Jesus' stead. The legal right to use his name is a legal document. Once you have that power of attorney, legal, you can act for the person. Anything you do or sign, it's as good as the person signed it. Because you're there as the person's representative. And number four, we're commissioned as ambassadors to herald the name of Jesus among the nations. Listen, the name is the key. The name is the key. Sometimes we talk about how big our faith is. But what if we think about it like this? That how big is the name? How big the name is? How big the name is? It's the name of Jesus that gets it done. It's the name of Jesus that does the impossible. In John chapter 14, verses 13 and 14, Jesus said, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. He said, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now that word ask, there's the word aetio, and it means to demand as your right or privilege. You know, there's some things you don't need to pray about. If sickness tries to lay siege on your body, lay siege on the sickness. If the devil shows up, you too show up. Tell him it is written. Tell him what is written. Slap him in the face with that name. The power is in the name. When Jesus rose from the dead, he said, all authority in heaven and in earth is given to me. And then he turned around and delegated the authority to the church and said, folks, go ye therefore, and in my name, if you meet the devil on the way, exercise authority over him. We've got the name. We've got the name. In John 16, 23 and 24, he said, and what very, very I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. He said to up till now, have you asked nothing in my name? Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Oh, what a charter promise that Jesus gave to the church. An unqualified use of the name of Jesus. See, the name of Jesus is actually our credential in miracles. Remember the early church prayed, said, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness, Acts 4, 29 to 31, that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. The power is in the name. The great commission, Mark's account of it, Mark 16, 17 and 18, Jesus said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Another translation, these signs shall accompany the believing ones. What were the signs? Five of them. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Of course, God is not saying go be playing with snakes to prove something. No, but if you get accidentally beaten, claim immunity. Remember one time I was stung by bees. I just remember that scripture. I claimed immunity. It had no effect on me. Another time I was stung by a scorpion. I remember that scripture. I claimed immunity. It had no effect on me. I remember one time someone put something in my food. I ate it. When I finished eating it, now I had a premonition the person did. And I just seemed to feel led to do what I did. So I ate it first. Then after I did, I waited some time. I called the person. I said, you put something in that food. The person said yes. And the person was shaking. I said, don't do those things next time. Those things don't work on everybody. Yeah. That was a good way to learn a lesson, right? To teach somebody a lesson. Yes. Of course, I'm not saying be foolish. I'm not saying be stupid. But like I said, I felt led in that case to help the person see something. Look, the name of Jesus belongs to us. That name does not belong to me any more than it belongs to you. We have the same right to that name. The name does not belong to the preacher more than it belongs to everybody else. It's the family name. It's our family name. It's our family name. And Jesus obtained the fullness of the power, the authority, the majesty of his name by inheritance, by conquest, and by bestowal. Hebrews 1, from verse 1 to 4. The Bible says, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. See, when Jesus hung on that cross, our sin nature was laid on him. He partook of spiritual death for us. He was separated from God on the cross. He became everything that spiritual death had made man. What, did Jesus become a sinner? No, he didn't. But he took our sin nature on him. And when he died, where did he go? He went to the place where people who are separated from God go. And he suffered for us 3 days and nights. And after 3 days and nights, you see, God looked at Adam's treason and man's sins over the centuries. And he looked at the sacrifice of Jesus. You know, he looked at it and he said, yes. Remember, Jesus is deity, we are humanity. An hour of deity suffering is worth more than an eternity of humanity suffering. And Romans 4:25 says he was delivered up for our offenses. He was raised up for our justification. The marginal rendering says he was delivered up on account of our offenses. He was raised up when we were declared righteous. So after he had satisfied the claims of justice and met the demands of the law, God said, it's enough, it's enough. And then he was made alive out of spiritual death. He was raised up from the dead. And that day, the Father said to him, thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. See that in Acts 13:33. God has fulfilled the same to us, their children, by raising up Jesus from the dead. As also written in 2 Psalm, that my Son, this day have I begotten thee. So he inherited the fullness of that name from God Almighty. So the power in that name can only be measured by the power of God the Creator. He obtained that name by conquest. Colossians 2:15, and having spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Jesus met the devil in his domain and he whipped him. What exactly was that conquest like? I don't know. I wasn't there. But, you know, when I get to heaven, I can tell God to show me a replay of how it actually happened. But what God's word says is that the devil is defeated. And Jesus defeated him in my stead. See, there was never, ever, ever, ever God and the devil. There was no comparison. God was never struggling with the devil over anything. No. Who's the devil, by the way? Just one angel that lost his job. You know, when Lucifer rebelled in heaven, God did not kick him out. It was Michael. It's an insult on God to say God threw him out. God didn't. Michael flung the yeyetin out of heaven. Are you listening? God sat on his throne, just watching the nonsense. You know? Yeah. Look, with a blast of God's nostril, the dude can dematerialize. Are you hearing me? So why then did Jesus defeat him? He did it in my stead. He did it in your stead. He did it for us. His victory over the devil is my victory over the devil. His triumph over the devil is my triumph over the devil. Now, this devil I'm talking about is the same devil that is behind those temptations to sin. He's the same devil that's behind those symptoms of sickness. He's the same devil that's behind the lack of finances. And I'm saying he has been defeated. So what do we do? We just stand against him. We just stand against him. We don't do battle with the devil. We do victory over him. Amen. We trample upon him. We tread upon him. Thank God for tests and trials. Thank God for adverse circumstances. They're just another opportunity to act on the word of God. They're just another opportunity to prove that the word of God works. And it was also bestowed on him. Philippians 2 from verse 5. Says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. 6 says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, of things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, penicillin exercises authority over bacteria. Are you listening to me? The name of Jesus exercises authority over sin. The name of Jesus exercises authority over sickness. Next time you are tempted, and you are sorely tempted, just start speaking that name in the name of Jesus. Mr. Devil, I stand against you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I keep under my body. I bring it into subjection. Lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I stand against you. You see, yes, you were made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Yes, you've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. But listen, we still live in a world where the devil is God. And the very atmosphere around about us is filled with hostile forces that will attempt to destroy our fellowship with the Father and deprive us of our usefulness in the Master's service. It's for this purpose that our Father God has given us a mighty weapon to use against the adversary. And that weapon is not only for our sakes, it's also for the sake of the Satan-ruled men and women around us. You know, you can break the power of nicotine over someone's body. These days, there are a lot of young people struggling with this drug, this addiction, that addiction. That name will break the power of any addiction. Because all dominion is in that name. All dominion is in that name. I told the fellow one time, he was struggling with smoking. I told him, I said it in faith. I said the next stick of cigarette you smoke will make you sick. I break the power of nicotine over your body. He couldn't smoke anymore. He just couldn't. The very smell of it made him sick. That's the name of Jesus. It'll break any addiction. Lost anything in the name, in the name, in the name, in the name, in the name. Remember one time I was ambushed by armed robbers, two of them. One came right in front of me with a gun, point blank range. The other one came around me, had a bag, was trying to get my bag, trying to get my phone in my pocket and all that. Well, but I just remember that name. And what did I do? I said, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. That's what I did. See, the Bible says that no evil will befall us. It says no plague will come near our dwelling. The Bible says no weapon formed against us will prosper. Listen, Let's say you live in a neighborhood and armed robbers come there a lot, and there's one OPC man there, Oigbesu man there. And in the night, when armed robbers are around, if the man shows up and goes out, everybody will start saying, even pastors, will start saying, hey, every day for the thief, one day for the owner, he go catch them today. Is that not how we think? Let a pastor go out. And everybody say, ha, why does he want to kill himself? You know, because Igbesu has power, right? OPC has power, right? But poor old God, you know, he's just so weak and defeated. Listen to me. The name of Jesus belongs to us. The name of Jesus belongs to us. Now, I'm not saying go do something foolish. I'm not saying go tempt the Lord. No. But I'm saying if the devil shows up, use the name. Yeah, I call that name. The guy shot at me. Point blank range. The bullet deflected. Of course, what will you do if you shoot at somebody? Point blank range. And the bullet deflects. He ran. Both of them ran away. Yeah, they didn't succeed. And I can tell you of a few other instances also. Now, I'm not saying be foolish. Don't get me wrong. I'm careful the way I give some of these testimonies. Because, you know, I don't want someone to go and be a casualty. And also, you know, there's something about word of God. I didn't try some of these things. I wasn't trying them. Remember another time one fellow stabbed me. He was afraid because he couldn't cut me. And then he went to my room. He lay down on the floor. He was begging. Yeah. Look, the name of Jesus has power. The Bible says the name of the Lord is a strong tower. Says the righteous run into it and they are safe. One time I was on a plane, international flight, and then I had an announcement. The altitude meter is not working. The captain, we don't know the distance we are from the ground. We're going to have to look for how to put this plane down. Somebody said, what did you do when you heard that? I'm sure you started praying. No, I started sleeping. You know why? When I was leaving my country, I said I was going to such and such a country. I didn't say I was going to the plane and crash. No! 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 Jesus said, let us pass over to the other side. Why did Jesus steal that storm? Because of their unbelief. He really didn't need to. There was enough power in the words he said to get them to the other side. Look, I'm not talking superstition. I'm not telling you what I merely heard somebody say. I'm telling you what I've seen in the Bible for myself and what I've proven that it works. So don't forget, number one, we walk in love. Right? Number two, we live by faith. Number three, we use the name of Jesus. Use that name. Use that name. Use that name. Use that name. You have a financial need. Before you start complaining, hey, I'm broke. Hey, where will I get the money from? Just say, I claim this need met in the name of Jesus. Satan, take your hands off of my finances. Ministering spirits, go forth and cause the money to come. And then expect it. It will show up. Now, of course, you know that faith grows too. You don't start climbing a ladder on the top rung. You start from the bottom and then you grow. When I first started using my faith for finances, it took all the faith I had. I remember January 1989 to believe God for 130 naira. Yeah, 10 naira notes were red. I cannot forget. Throughout eternity. I got that money the next day. My God, I was thrilled. I needed it desperately for something. And it came. You see, the name belongs to us. The name belongs to us. Somebody is sick in your neighborhood. Sometimes I see some of these Rema students. They tell me, hey, my uncle is sick. Hey, there's this my neighbor. I feel like saying, so what should I do? I feel like I should collect your diploma from you. If all you went to school to do is to be calling me that somebody is sick. My guy, go get him healed. Stop that nonsense. The name belongs to you. The name belongs to you. Child of God, the name belongs to you. You should have a reputation of getting the sick healed. Yes. If somebody is sick in your neighborhood, they should come and look for you. If something is wrong in your neighborhood, they should come and look for you. If somebody says someone lost their mind, there's some demonic something, they should come and look for you. Because you're a Christian. You're a Christian. You are supernatural. You are supernatural. You are supernatural. You are supernatural. You say me and you. You say, but with all my shortcomings, before uncle. With all my faults and failures, before uncle. You are the one that sees yourself that way. God sees you in Christ. God sees you in Christ. God sees you in Christ. Should we live right? Sure, we should live right. But listen, we are in Christ. We are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Amen. So use the name of Jesus. Use the name of Jesus. Three things I've said, right? Maybe I should just mention a fourth. And then we fix the quit. Number four, if you're going to live naturally in the supernatural, pray much in other tongues. Pray much in other tongues. Pray much in other tongues. In Mark 16:17, Jesus said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. The first, in my name shall they cast out devils. Second one, they shall speak with new tongues. 1 Corinthians 14:18, Paul said, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. Ever look that up in the Amplified Classic? Paul said, I speak in tongues more than any of you, and more than all of you put together. When I read that, I almost fell down from my seat. Sure, hey, my God. Yeah. I speak with tongues more than y'all. Little wonder the man could say, I was not a whit behind the chiefest of apostles. Little wonder the man could say, I labored more abundantly than them all. No wonder the man said, when I went to those who were of note as apostles before me, you know, hey, he said, in conference, they added nothing to me. Yes, Paul could say that. Scripture. Said all they could tell me is, don't forget to give to the poor. And that one I decided to do before they said it. A man, that one man, he did more for Christianity in 39 years than any denomination has done in 500. One man, just one man, wrote half of the New Testament. One man. Out of 27 books in the New Testament, one man wrote 14, because I believe he wrote Hebrews. One man. Out of the 21 epistles, he wrote 2/3 of them. He left Peter, James, John, Jude to share the rest. One man. Could there be a link between how he prayed? I believe so. I believe so. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Let me tell you something. I'm a word man. I put the word first. But don't make a mistake. I spend just as much time praying as I spend in the Word of God. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. An Amplified Classic says, the earnest, continued, heartfelt prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. You know, sometimes we say that a prayerless Christian is a powerless Christian. That may not really be true. If you're born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, you're not powerless. Whether you pray or you don't pray, you're not powerless, because you have the powerhouse in you. Are you listening? But let me ask you something. Of what use is having the power, having a standby generator that is brand new, diesel generator? You know, there's some generators that can carry, you know, they can carry, you can put all the houses in the neighborhood on that one generator. What's the use of having that kind of a generator? And there's diesel, there's everything inside. And then there's a power outage, and then you don't put it on. You'll be of all men most miserable. Listen, prayer is how we generate the power. So, there's the sense in which if you are prayerless, you may be potentially powerful, but in reality, you are powerless. Because you're not generating it. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue, speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. How be it in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. Verse 15. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Now, there's some prayers you can't pray in tongues. Are you listening to me? You can't resist the devil in tongues. Talk to him in a language he understands. When you talk in tongues, you're talking to God. You have something to tell the devil? Tell him in the name of Jesus. That's how you will hear it. Are you listening to me? So we don't war in tongues. No, we fellowship with God in tongues. We build up our spirits in tongues. Are you listening to me? Yeah, there's a place of praying in our understanding. Some Christians, you raise any prayer point, the next thing they just start going autopilot tongues. There are some things, what you need to do is to pray a prayer of consecration. Father, I will do whatever you ask me to do. There are sometimes you need to pray a prayer of commitment and roll the care of certain things over to the Lord. Some Christians are so lazy in the name of tongues. Everything tongues. Yes, I believe in tongues and I talk a lot in tongues. But I'm not saying that you should only pray in tongues. Pray in your understanding too. But please, also pray in tongues. And pray much more in tongues. Romans 8:26 says, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. We know not what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. 27 says, but he that searcheth the heart, that was the man of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We don't know, we know what to pray for. That scripture doesn't say we don't know what to pray for. If you are sick, you know what to pray for. If you are hungry, you know what to pray for. Elections are forthcoming, you know what to pray for. It doesn't say we don't know what to pray for. It doesn't even say we know not how to pray. We know how to pray. We pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. What does it say? It says we know not what to pray for as we ought. So there's sometimes after I've talked to God in my understanding about certain situations, I'll tell him, Father, there are details about this thing I don't know about. And I don't know how even best to pray about this thing. Spirit of God, you dwell inside me. I trust you to give me utterance. And then he begins to give me utterance. When you have a prayer burden like that, you see, there's a prayer of faith. Prayer of faith, I believe I receive. That's it. Don't pray about the same thing again. Not every prayer is a prayer of faith. There is a prayer of supplication. There's a prayer of intercession. A supplication is a humble, earnest entreaty. Sometimes you have a prayer burden. When you have a prayer burden like that, keep praying until the burden lifts. It may take 2 hours. It may take 20 minutes. It may take 5 minutes. It may take 2 days. It may take 20 hours. But keep praying until it lifts. There's this man, he woke up in the morning, you know, to go feed his animals. When he did, he just had a burden to pray. He started praying, and then he started praying with groanings. You know, praying in other tongues. 1 hour, burden did not lift. 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours. Remember, he hadn't eaten, he just woke up. 7 hours, the animals he was meant to feed were crying. After about 8 hours or so, praying like that in other tongues, the burden lifted. He began to sing in the spirit. So he knew whatever it was he was praying about had been sorted out, you know? So, he got up from his prayer. What he did not know, he had a daughter. His daughter just died. His daughter had a disease, you know. She caught a particular fever that killed her. She was over in Africa as a missionary. They pulled the sheets over her head. They were preparing for her burial. When all of a sudden, she came back to life. The moment he got that note of victory was when she came back to life. Imagine if he stopped 5 minutes short. You see, many things will have been averted if you prayed more. You see, sometimes we're too busy. The Spirit of God is looking for who to roll a prayer burden on. Many things will have been averted if we prayed some more. No, God is not looking for a world church. We should be world people, no doubt. But that's not what he's looking for. He's not even looking for a worship church. What kind of church is he looking for? Say, my house shall be called of all nations a house of prayer. Let's give ourselves to prayer. Let's pray and make power available. I like to say this about prayer and about praying in tongues. I see some people praying in tongues, and the way they are praying, we even give them headache. Ha! We are not battling. You know, look, how do you do when you talk with your father? You go to a meeting with your father and say, Daddy, I've come to talk to you. Daddy, will your daddy not send for your mommy? I know sometimes, even in a family meeting, things can get earnest. You can be having a family and you say, no, daddy, we're not going to do that now. This family business must grow. We need to do it like this. Yes, I know such things happen. And there could be such times in prayer. But you know, when I'm praying in tongues, I'm fellowshipping with my father. What if you were watching that World Cup final match tomorrow? And let's say Jesus was in the house with you. And you are both taking popcorn together. You know, you just be gisting as you are watching. Isn't it? Relaxed. Do you know you can just do the same as you are watching that match tomorrow? And be just gisting with your father. Do you know if Jesus were in the passenger seat and you are driving your car, you know he'll be gisting with you. He'll be talking with you. Do you know you can just relax and just talk with him? You know, you can just sit back. Pavra talasto kledeva prando dolo paradeva sosto kledeva babaradadla sistetita. Yeah, and just fellowship with your father. Amen. Well, I guess this is a good place to put a pause. We'll hook up tomorrow morning. Amen. Father, thank you for reminding us about the supernatural life, which is our life. We choose to contend for the supernatural. We're not going to draw back. We're not going to pull back in the love walk. We're not going to pull back in the faith life. We'll go forth boldly and use the name of Jesus. We'll give ourselves some more to prayer, particularly praying in other tongues. Thank you for an increase in manifestations of the supernatural. Thank you for your plans. Thank you for a wave of revival. A wave of revival that's sweeping across the land. Thank you, because many will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. Many more that we've seen in recent times. There will just be that wave where the easiest thing is to get people saved. Where the easiest thing is to get people filled with the Holy Ghost. Where the easiest thing is to get people healed. Thank you for supernatural advertisement for the gospel. This thing is not about us. It's not about promoting our ministries. It's not about growing our churches. It's not about any of that. It's about magnifying Jesus. It's about reaching the lost. It's about edifying the saints. Father, we praise you. Father, we praise you. But while the service was starting, as I prayed, I had a, with my eyes shut, I had a mini vision. Every head bowed. You're here and you have some trouble, female trouble, something with your, whether it's your womb, it's your ovaries, anything along those lanes, conception, anything along those lanes, just lift up your hand where you are. Anybody like that? All right. Father, I stand in agreement with your people. They're believing you for healing for their bodies. In the name of Jesus, I speak to those deficiencies. I speak to those abnormalities. I speak to those sicknesses. I speak to those diseases. Be healed. A person with a regular, extremely painful period, cease now in the name of Jesus. That person with secondary amenorrhea, you know, your period just ceased and you're not pregnant. Be healed now in the name of Jesus. Just get ready. You're going to see tonight. Amen. Father, thank you for your power. Thank you because you're a good father. Thank you because you're the healing God. We praise you. And then something else. I just saw something now. And I believe that God wants us to be conscious of angelic activity. You know, the Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. What do those angels do? They protect us. What do those angels do? They minister for us. Let's say it together. No evil befalls me. Say it one more time. No evil befalls me. No plague comes near my dwelling. God has given his angels charge over me. Thank you for favor. Say again. Ministering spirits, go forth and cause the monies to come. Cause the contracts to come. Cause the favors to come. Cause the abundance to come. I am the righteous. And so I'm surrounded. I am surrounded with favor as a shield. Do you believe that? Lift up both hands and praise him for it.